our guest for a few more minutes. Rex has a former Army Lieutenant Colonel that was over in Gaza for a long time, saw the war crimes, joining him. But he's also going to get into the exit strategy. And Tucker did tell me 6 months ago, he said, no, it's all fake. Trump doesn't want an off-ramp. He just says that and then leaks it to Axios, which we now know he does. That's when he criticizes Israel. And then the Israel lobby doesn't know what's going on. And Mark Levin comes out and says, arrest whoever leaked that to Axios. And later it came out it was Trump. No, it's Trump. It's all an act. I've wanted to believe that he doesn't plan Netanyahu to be his boss, but it's all an act for the Arabs. They even brag about that. Netanyahu they released a tape of him with Lindsey Graham when the war started 150-some days ago, saying, oh, yeah, this is for Arab consumption. Trump's really good at acting like he's against Israel. Don't worry, it's all fake. And that's Netanyahu and Lindsey talking about it, laughing about it. So we now know Tucker was right yet again. He's a hero. People saying he's a Qatari agent are full of crap. In closing, what else do you want to impart to folks at Nate Kornacki of Valhalla VFT?
Yeah. I mean, the one thing too, this Qatari funding and all these different things, it's like, look, man, what you don't see our side ever do, Alex, is when something happens, we all at the exact same time, all put a X post out with the exact same verbiage, verbatim, 50 of us all at the same time. It's very clear who's actually being coordinated and paid. Okay. The pro-America side that's trying to get rid of foreign involvement in our politics and get rid of, USAID and all these foreign funding things that we want. There ain't nobody paying us for that, guys. Unfortunately, I would tell you if they were, I would love it. If you are an America PAC guy out there who wants to give me money to push a pro-America agenda, please let me know. I will take the money. But unfortunately, it seems like only the foreign money has the real money, right? Maybe we're also broke because the economy.
And like a NASCAR having a sticker, I'll tell you. I mean, if I got money, no strings attached to promote American freedom, I'll take it. Come on.
For sure. And then also just again to pitch 5 p.m. Pacific tonight, I'm going to have that special operators panel. We're going to talk about everything we just talked about here, Alex. And again, massive level of knowledge, right? Multiple lieutenant colonels. I mean, I'm the lowest ranked guy there as a retired Green Beret. So great panel. And also real quick, probably going to be out in Austin pretty soon visiting. I'm really good friends with Jesse on Fire. I know you've been doing content with him too. So if I'm out there and you guys want to do an in-person show, I would love to do it with you sometime. So,
hey, I'm a producer. You tell me when you're coming. It's done. In fact, Cruz, Scott, Daria, give Nate my number and Nate share with whoever you want in the community. I'd love to have all you guys on my show and do some roundtable discussions as well. I watch your military shows. I watch a lot of them. And so I'm a big fan. Thank you so much.
Yeah. And final thing, just with the war, we talked about off ramps and de-escalation. We got to have somebody else in power. It's never going to happen with Trump. So understand they don't care about the midterms, right? This is kind of wild to me. Republicans and MAGA said, F the midterms. We don't care. Throw it away. Give it to the Democrats. We'd rather, Israel get the Greater Israel Project achieved than, we care about the Republican Party. So keep that in mind. Nothing is going to change.
They're going to blame us when we lose. They're already setting that up.
That's exactly what they're going to do. It's going to be all our fault. It's going to be the anti-Trump Republicans who ruined the party, right? The Massey Republicans that ruined everything. So, yeah, but that's all I got for you, Alex. Thank you so much for having me on the show. We'll talk soon.
You're up. In my view, you're 100% dead on, Nate Kornacki. Thank you so much.
Yep. See you guys.
All right. Rex has got his special guest coming up to get into Iran, all the rest of it. This is totally insane. The third world invasion accelerating that Israel and the U.S. are backing against Spain. Even if they're communists, they don't deserve this. The poor Christians there. So that's all coming up. Remember, I'm not financed by Israel, Qatar, or the Easter Bunny. I'm financed by you. We make it easy. Incredible products. It'll change your life. TheAlexJonesStore.com. 50% off on a bunch of the best-selling supplements like Ultramethylene Red, Ultimate Power, the best energy system out there. Blows away even Turbo Force. That sale's about to end on Sunday night at midnight, thealexjonesstore.com. And we've launched the new with Bigly 1776RX.health, where you can get the ivermectin mebendazole combination anti parasite prescription like that. And it does so much more to detox your body. Just research mebendazole in studies, what else it does, and you'll be blown away. Get yours now at 1776rx.health and be the reason we stay on the air. Whatever you do, share the live feeds right now at Real Alex Jones on X and at rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live and alexjoneslive.com with the feeds right there. Share those feeds now. You're the Paul Revere's. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, Bigly has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with, My Decision. and that is ivermectin with minbenazidil, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but minbenazidil is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search minbenazidil studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
The program leftists failed to silence. It's the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your embattled host, Rex Jones. Rounding out the week for you today, I got a geopolitical roundtable hour for you. I got Suleiman Ahmed, leading geopolitical journalist, top analyst as well, joining me for this segment. Next segment, I have Colonel Anthony Aguilar joining me. Of course, famously worked at the GHF and exposed a lot of the war crimes and really nasty stuff going on there. I've interviewed both of them numerous times. I've also been on with Suleiman a lot. Suleiman has a channel on YouTube that I highly recommend called Moral Resistance. And here's the thing. If you're not following Judge Napolitano, if you're not following Colonel Daniel Davis, if you're not following Transition Protocol with Larry Johnson, Pepe Escobar, Glenn Deason, Nima, Dialogue Works, there's so many various options, but Suleiman is up there in that kind of like A-tier, S-tier area for me, as in I want to see coverage of the war, of the conflicts developing wherever they are, Iran, Ukraine, Middle East, South China Sea, you name it. And Suleiman is one of these guys that truly lives, eats, breathes, and sleeps this stuff. So Suleiman, welcome to the show and give us kind of a geopolitical update, roundup, what's happening right now.
First of all, Rex, thanks so much for having me on. Really do appreciate it. I am on the road, obviously. As you know, I am reporting on the ground as much as I can. There's a lot of breaking news right now, which is the first thing is obviously Trump's plan for Iran is clearly not working. The bombing from the air is not working. The attacks on southern Iran is not working, whether it's Bandar Abbas, Sariq, Qasem, Bushehr. That's not working. So he also has the blockade in place. And it seems quite clear that the naval blockade is also not working in the manner that it needs to be. Because what's the purpose of the blockade? It's to essentially lock Iran in and hope that they capitulate. Well, that's clearly not working because Iran still is able to get vessels out. And what's worse than that is that the entirety of the global planet is suffering a lot more than Iran is, including the United States of America that's into its oil reserve. So the breaking news is this. That United States of America is exploring the possibility of possibly having another blockade, this time a ground blockade on Iran.
Yes.
In order to do that's the breaking news. In order to do the ground blockade, you need 7 countries involved. You need Pakistan, you need Turkey, you need Iraq, you need Turkmenistan, you need Azerbaijan, you need Armenia. You need all of these countries involved in this naval blockade. And quite clearly, it's not going to happen because I don't see a scenario where Pakistan, Turkey, Armenia, Azerbaijan, and the countries I mentioned are going to basically be part of this naval blockade. Many of these countries have relationships with Iran. Many of these countries have relationships with China. And it's simply impossible that they would devalue those relationships in order to fully go in or with the United States of America. Now, you may ask, well, wait a sec, Pakistan, Turkey, and a few of these other countries are part of this naval blockade that Saudi Arabia is trying to put together. Yesterday, that was the news from yesterday, which is against Ansarullah. Well, I'm not a believer that first of all, they don't even have a navy.
Really quick, let me ask you about that really quick. Yeah. So what is going on with Pakistan? Because Pakistan is a part of this, a security agreement alliance now with Saudi Arabia? What happened there?
Yeah, look, so Pakistan, it has got a security umbrella with Saudi Arabia, which means if Saudi Arabia is attacked, that's like Pakistan being attacked and they would respond to any attacks. They're also negotiating with Qatar and Kuwait, although their security umbrella won't be at the same level. It won't be if those countries are attacked, then that means Pakistan are being attacked. But let me be clear on this. Personally, I think that, and again, my origins are Pakistani. I'm a British born, obviously third generation. But the point is this. I think Pakistan is just trying to get as much money from these countries as possible to try and get as much umbrella. And I don't think that they're going to actually follow through. And the evidence of that is when Ansarullah hit Saudi Arabia, Pakistan did not get involved.
Let me come in here. Do these countries, whether it's Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, any of, like, I know it's not a Gulf state, Pakistan, but any of these like really corrupt Gulf states, do they still think they can just extract money from the U.S. and not deal with the retaliation or consequences of that?
Well, it's Pakistan extracting money from the Gulf states. I think the Gulf states actually do not extract money from the U.S. It's the other way around. They give U.S. money. Like, they are very much, I call it Cook Arabia, because these Gulf states are very cooked to the United States of America. They basically give U.S. millions, if not billions, if not trillions of dollars in the hopes that they get accepted by them. But what they don't realize, and what's always happened, is ultimately the U.S. is always going to put Israeli interests before the interests of any of these Gulf states. And we're seeing it there now. The Strait of Hormuz is harming these Gulf states. You see the Saudi economy has depleted by 30%. Dubai real estate has dropped significantly. All of these countries are bleeding. The only country that's benefiting from this is Israel. And that's why you saw the Saudi, the brother of the Saudi leader, go to Trump on Wednesday. Remember, Zelensky went, Netanyahu went, they were begging for more war. Wednesday, apparently the brother of the Saudi leader went and asked Trump to de-escalate. So they don't want to be in this war, even though it was Saudi involved. And obviously the Saudis are involved in strikes against Ansarullah in Yemen. So I'm not removing them. I've been attacking them more than anyone else.
But what's the purpose of that? Because we see this strike that goes down in Iraq, the U.S.-Saudi joint back strike, and they kill, not exactly, are they government adjacent to Iraq, this group? Did the U.S. kill people that were a part of the Iraqi government?
Yeah, no. That's a very good question, very important question. So they killed, first of all, they killed civilians, but separate of the civilians, they killed PMF members. The PMF is essentially the Iraqi resistance, but the PMF isn't a separate body. It's not like Hamas, it's not like Hezbollah, it's not like anyone else. They are actually part of the Iraqi army. They are a part of the Iraqi army, and so you have essentially killed members of the Iraqi army. This is why it's put the Iraqi prime minister in a kind of tough spot, because he's very much America aligned. But then they've just killed members of their own army, and the leader of the army is not happy. So you have a major problem there. And again, this is the issue, that there's more of a chance that there is a civil unrest or possibly even a civil war in Iraq other than any other opportunity.
Break that down for the audience. A civil war. What could that look like? Go ahead.
Yeah, well, civil war probably would look something along the lines of whoever is loyal to the current Iraqi prime minister would be on one side.
Right.
And people who are supportive of the leader of the army and also supporting of resistance would end up being on the other side. The other option is there'd be a coup or a color revolution. Now, I don't think that these things will happen, and I don't support any of these things. My point is this. This is what the Americans and the Israelis want, and I think this is why it's put the Iraqi prime minister in a bit of a tough spot. There was a report the Israelis leaked where they said that the Iraqi prime minister was also involved. I don't believe it was the case, because I think it would just be a very stupid mistake to make. But just so you understand the complexities of the situation. So that's what's happening in Iraq. But Iraq is being bombed very hard. You have Erbil being hit, bombed by Iran. You have Sulaymaniyah being bombed by Iran because it has the Kurdish separatists. Then you have the Americans, as I just mentioned, bombing and attacking the PMF. They hit Karbala. Now we have we have 25 to 35 million Shia Muslims congregating in Karbala, in Najaf, in Iraq, in order to basically, it's like a mourning of the martyrdom.
It's a pilgrimage, right? It's a pilgrimage?
Essentially, it's a pilgrimage. And so for that reason, you're going to have a huge number of people. If the Americans and all the Saudis made the mistake of bombing during that time, or bombing those pilgrims, or possibly even bombing the shrine of Imam Hussein, that would essentially be over. It would become a holy war of the Shia Muslims, and it would be never ending.
Didn't they already target a religious building of some significance? Hasn't that already occurred?
They did. They bombed Karbala. This was the Saudis. They hit specifically a Husseiniyah, which is essentially like a parallel to a mosque for Shia Muslims. So they have their main mosque, and then they have like a secondary one where they do their prayers and activities and these type of things. That's what was hit. That was bad. But I mean, if they were to hit the pilgrims, if they were to hit the shrine, I'm not exaggerating. This would be a Shia holy war, which would never end. Every single Shia Muslim Muslim throughout the world would activate.
I heard you discuss this, how you, and this was earlier, and I heard you say it on stream, so I don't think, like, I'm breaking news. I'm not trying to, like, get in anyone's privacy, but you were going to go over there, and you were about to be in the region that got struck, right? Is that not true?
It is true, and I am planning to go there. Wow. Obviously, I'm not going to say when, because, you know, I don't want to, you know, sure, the Mossad. But the thing is, I am planning to go there, and the reason is very simple. I am obviously an independent journalist. I went to Iran in order to report on the ground, and I gave some breaking news and got a number of connections there. And similarly in Iraq, I want to be there, obviously. I want to give the news live, especially if there's any bombing. But more than that, I do believe that there is an attempt to cause a sectarian divide between Sunnis and Shias. And I do believe that Saudi bombing them has basically been the conduit for that. And I'm a Sunni Muslim, and therefore I want to demonstrate and represent that actually we're not going to accept this. We're not going to accept any of these things. And this is what I do. Anyone who tries to cause friction between Sunnis and Shias, or even Muslims and Christians, I'll always call them out, because I know this is part of the Zionist agenda. And so this is part of the reason that I will be on the ground reporting live at any time.
Yeah, and, you know, there's one group that's making everybody fight, and they have nuclear weapons, and they threaten to use them on everyone. They can say they can do genocide and do whatever they want, because 3,000 years ago, the Talmud or the Torah says. And we just don't accept that. We don't accept a reality where we have to fight each other. It makes no sense. Everyone can just live in prosperity and peace. And that's the reality. That's what it should be. And that's what people want throughout the vast majority of the world. Like, and that's just the truth. And it is corrupt governments, corrupt institutions, and really corrupt demonic ideology that's taken over large parts of the West and just other parts of the world as well. And we got to break with that. I want you to explain to people, because this is what's really fascinating to me about you, Suleiman. You're a great journalist, and I follow your work. But when you're there in Iran, on the ground, in the middle of a funeral procession, like 30 plus million people, and you're seeing the Iranian people's attitude, and they have the red flags, they're saying revenge, revenge. And then you're interviewing members of the government and people that are related to, like, the foreign ministry and others, and they have just this very rational, analytical perspective about, like, why the West did this, how they're going to try to make the West stop doing this, how they're going to win the war, whatever you want to say. If it was a mad, theocratic, lunatic state, any more than ours is, I'll just say. If they were crazy, then we should be thanking our lucky stars they're not. You know, like, it's we got pretty lucky so far. Because if they were doing really what the people wanted, it would be full World War III everywhere. So
no doubt. The leadership is very pragmatic. The leadership is always wanting negotiations. They always want to have conversations. If you saw my interview with the foreign minister spokesperson, one of the highest ranking members who is able to speak English, he sent a message to the Americans. He said, look, we have no issue with the average American. We know that you've been abused. We know that your money is being used for these illegal wars while you suffer, while you're not able to pay your bills, while you're not able to pay your rent. The foreign minister, a spokesperson, has spent a few years in New York, so he understands Western ideals, he understands American ideals and civilization. He said, our war is not with you. This is the Epstein class who's began this war, attacking us, basically, and all we're doing is defending ourselves. And despite that being the case, despite the fact that we cannot trust Trump, because every time we have a negotiation with Trump, he breaks it. Every time we have a deal with Trump, he breaks it. We still are open to negotiations because we just want peace, but we're willing to defend ourselves. And as you said, I was on the ground in Iran. And let me tell you something. I was not part of the journalistic crew. So basically, and what I mean by that is, when you're part of the journalistic crew, they kind of give you a timetable. Like, you need to go here, you need to go there. We're going to go here, we're going to go there. And there's a timetable. I wasn't part of that. I went anywhere I wanted. I went everywhere. I spoke to, as you mentioned, governors and ministers. But on the other hand, I actually spoke to the average person. I went to liberal areas. I went to areas where people are anti-government. My report that's coming out, actually, it's already out. One of the reports that's already out shows I was speaking to someone who was against the government, who blamed the government for everything. Yeah, I was like, okay, what about the US bombing and Israel? And he was like, that's the government's fault as well. So just to let you know the diversity of opinion in the country, I spoke to everyone.
And he was fine being interviewed. He was fine being interviewed. There you go.
Exactly, he was fine.
Yeah,
he was fine being interviewed. I even said, are you sure you want me to put this out? He said, 100%. I had some women who went by and they were like, curse be on Iran. They were fine with me recording that. There was, and that shows a diversity of opinion. But that being said, 95% of people who I spoke to on the ground, I spoke to thousands of people, all of them are basically in agreement that they want a response to the United States of America and Israel for the killing of the Supreme Leader. When I say 95%, not all of them are conservative Muslims. Like, some of them are very left-wing, as I mentioned. Some of them are not religious.
You can find videos, really quick, not to interrupt you. You can find videos where Iran, it just looks like anywhere in the U.S. Very nice malls, very nice streets. Like, people, like, they think of it as Afghanistan. They explain the difference to Americans that maybe don't get it still.
No doubt. I mean, they did a documentary on me, and I went to the Iranian mall. And I'm someone who, once again, one of the things I respect about Western civilization is, like, I'll go to America, Washington, D.C. I'll go to London, and the libraries and the museums are absolutely beautiful. This is something you don't get in the Gulf states. They don't like it when I say it, but it is true. But that being said, in Iran, it's exactly the same thing. I went to the Mall of Iran. It had one of the biggest libraries in West Asia. It was so beautiful. It was like Dubai Mall. It's very advanced. It's a huge amount of abundance in Iran. But the thing is, the Iranian people want to live in peace. They're a very advanced civilization. It's to think that they're in sanctions and how advanced they are, that's what shook me more than anything else. Because when I was going there, I was expecting to go to Cuba. I was expecting to see a Venezuela. I was expecting to see a North Korea. Well, there are struggles due to sanctions. That did not happen in Iran. Iran, there's a huge amount of abundance in technology, in food, in culture, in society, and all of these things. But one thing the people want is, as I mentioned, they want a response to the United States of America for killing the Supreme Leader, for killing those children in Minab. I went to Iran, and it's very clear to me that there was intentional targeting of innocent civilians in Iran. I went to the Jewish synagogue as an example. And I went to the Jewish synagogue. It was hit. And they told me, they said, the reason this Jewish synagogue was struck was because these specific Jews are against Israel. These specific Jews view themselves as Iranian above anything else. And because they have this position publicly, that's the reason why Israel struck them. Similarly, you go to the B1 bridge, a civilian area. You go to the Gandhi Hospital. It's a civilian area. You go to the Azadi complex spots.
Let's get into it. Let's tie the two topics together really quick. We got 5 minutes, so I want you to give kind of a rundown what people can expect, and also just like the biggest breaking news you can give me. You're talking about the library and how it's comparable to like the best things you've seen in the West, right? Another example would be the bridge. You know, we blew up the largest bridge in West Asia. You know, that's just a war crime writ large. Commentary on that?
No doubt. You're totally right. It was the B1 bridge. It was the biggest bridge in West Asia. It was an engineering marvel. And you know what's the ingenuity of these people? That despite that bridge being blown up, which it was, they're already working on it. They're already rebuilding it. They're already getting it back into operation. And that continues to happen. As soon as the US and Israel strike their civilian infrastructure, they bring it back together. And that's what's important. Let me just bring you to the geopolitical aspect, which is, this is what this asymmetry is. When Trump hit a desalination plant in Iran, for example, the one he hit, there was 10,000 people who had water from that desalination plant. But there's 92 million people in Iran. You're going to have to take out a huge number of desalination plants to take out the water. And even then, that won't be enough because they get water elsewhere. You have to take out all the power plants. But for example, in Kuwait, there's only 2 desalination plants. You take those out, people don't have water anymore. Same with Dubai, same with UAE, same with all these countries. And so this is where same with Israel. And so this is where the asymmetry lies, where Trump can't make this decision because he knows the consequences would be all these countries would be wiped out. He said Israel would never exist if I didn't go to this war. Well, if they were to do these strikes, Israel would no longer exist because they would not have drinking water. They would never have any kind of power plants. Dimona would be hit. So this is the reason why Trump is stuck and why he's not able to do nothing. He's floundering and he doesn't know what to do. And this is why, as you know, there was 2 theories within the American administration about what to do. Bradley Cooper said, let's do 20 days of basically saturated strikes and maybe this will bring Iran to the table. Iran said, do that. Because once you run out, you're going to come to the table and you're going to give us even more concessions. And Dan Kane, for example, disagreed. He said, let's continue what we're doing. But what they're doing isn't succeeding. All it's doing is put the entire ball into Iran's court. They're having all of the power and all of the ability to decide what they want to do. And the ball is in the court. And Iran's position now, I spoke to some senior leaders in Iran, and they said this. They said, our position is that we no longer want the MOU. We want more concessions. Some of the concessions, and I asked them, that they are now going to be demanding is Gaza and Ansarullah, Yemen, to be included in the deal. And what I mean by that is they already were, but their names are going to be included in the deal. The second thing that they're going to say is the sanctioned money, you're going to have to give that up immediately. So rather than, that writing was a bit vague. And so the Americans were able to use that not to give Iran their money. Now they're going to demand more money. So that's my sources in Iran. Let me just give you some information in terms of breaking, in terms of my sources in Ansarullah. This is exclusive information, which is what they've told me is that when it comes to the Iraqi resistance and it comes to Ansarullah, there's going to be a major response to the Saudi attacks on those, as you mentioned, in Iraq. They're going to wait till after Karbala, Arba'in, and then there's going to be, for the very first time, this is the breaking news, all of the axis of the resistance coinciding together will be responding against Saudi Arabia and America, and it's going to be a major response.
Wow. What do you anticipate? I mean, theoretically, so that's going to be Yemen, theoretically. That's going to be the Iraqi resistance, theoretically. That's going to be Iran, theoretically. Wow. That's big news. That's big news.
And Hezbollah as well. And it's going to be coordinated, and it's going to be at the same time, and it's going to be huge. They haven't told me what it's going to be. So obviously we're speculating. And so speculation would be, you would see major drone strikes by the Iraqi resistance and Ansarullah on Saudi energy infrastructure, which will take it offline. And then the Saudis are going to have to accept the fact that the main point about this, don't attack innocent people, don't attack innocent civilians, and break the blockade and siege. The illegal blockade and siege that is on Yemen needs to be removed. Ansarullah are the legitimate government of Yemen. The land they control, the people they control is 70% of all Yemeni people. The Saudi-controlled area is not, the headquarters aren't even in Yemen. They're in Saudi Arabia. So that tells you it's literally a colonizer, which is Saudi Arabia, colonizing the people of Yemen, and they want freedom. So there's going to be a major response, and you're going to have to wait for it. Also, in terms of Israel, last point, which is, again, Iranian officials have told me, and they told me this at that time, that they are doing systematic destruction of all of the Israeli defense, all of the radar systems, Kuwait, Bahrain, and in Jordan, that help defend Israel, as well as the defense interceptors. Now that basically all of that has been cleared out, they are ready to attack Israel. They just need Israel to make the move of attacking them first, because they're saying the devastation will be so bad that the global world won't accept it, and they may do a coalition and try and, you know, come in and help Israel. And so if everybody knows that this is being done in a defensive manner rather than Iran having to be looked as an offense, because if Iran does an offensive, you're going to have 150 countries trying to attack Iran. Europe, US already is there, but you'll have, all these Western nations, you'll have all these Gulf State nations, they'll all come together to attack. So what they're saying is they need Israel to attack first. Once Israel attacks first, they're going to decimate Israel. And that's the reason Israel's not joining in. This is why Smotrich said, we are not joining this war. We're okay with
it's
America.
Ideal. They say that it's ideal. It's their ideal scenario. Thank you so much, Suleiman Ahmed. Find him on Moral Resistance and also on X, if we can throw that up really quick. Really appreciate the work that you do. And I'll see and talk to you very soon. Thank you for your time.
Always appreciate your X. Thank you so much for giving me your time. Thanks so much.
100%. 10-4, we got Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Aguilar joining us right here in about 5 minutes. We're looking forward to that. Thank you all for watching me throughout the week. It's been a wonderful week of hosting the Alex Jones Show. We have Anthony Aguilar coming on. We have James Fishback coming on in the fourth hour. And then I plan on taking more of your calls. And I really do appreciate every single one of you guys that's been checking me out. Rex Jones News with a Z. Follow me on X. Follow me on Instagram if you choose to do so. Also visit thealexjonesstore.com. Get yourself some power plant, methyl drive, methylene blue. It'll be good for you.
A microscopic tag being planted in a person's body to track his every movement. There's actual discussion about that.
And often they're things you don't know what to do with. UBOs, they're called unidentified bright objects.
Can brain scans be used to determine whether a person is inclined toward criminality or violent behavior?
Who's got the brain that's going to be most susceptible to a particular kind of manipulation?
So the point is, they've been obsessed with this. It's going on. The COVID shots implanted the matrix graphene oxide to grow. It's now being scanned. It's now being read. They were putting chips in the troops 30 years ago. The revolution's already here, is what you're saying, Jesse Beltran.
These are just chips on a size that you can no longer see. They're nano size. One's 2,000 times the width of a human hair. The graphene oxide, the silicon-based materials that have been in, we know for a fact that they were in the mRNA. We know that Dr. Ido Bachelet signed a contract with Pfizer in 2015 when he did that TEDMed talk with a trillion robots in a 1cc syringe, and how he teaches his students how to, once they're in a host, how to control them with RF emissions.
And you heard Colin saying 21 years ago that, oh yeah, when we're doing scans, we find all these chips, these bright objects, ha ha ha, wonder to put them there. But as you said, you've been doing this 20 years, and about 10 years ago, you began to go away, not seeing chips anymore, but just liquid emulsion nanotech. Here you are 6 months ago or more, scanning me. Let's go to Alex Jones getting scanned.
So if you put that camera in there, you see how it says probably silicone? That means it's an electronic component. And it's not unusual to find that in the posterior ear area.
So wait, I got a higher reading than him?
No, his was higher than yours.
Okay,
yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, but you did get a positive reading there. So you are getting the you know, base of the neck is what we typically see. Scapula area. What we're finding is after post-COVID, this is very typical. We're completely bombarded by this stuff.
From your own research, there are compounds naturally in nature that just do absolutely incredible things that will draw out these type of things. But you guys have come up with one with scientists that adds these special sea minerals in that then even drags it out even more. And so I have been taking this, the dreams I've had, my skin, my health, what it's done is absolutely insane. Get masterpiece.com. Matt Hazen, tell us what this does, and people can get 10% off when they follow the URL, getmasterpiece.com, or use promo code Alex when you're there on the site, because this is really special.
Zeolite is an incredible mineral that is known as what's called the master binder. And what that means is it's known to pick up every type of forever chemical, toxin, toxic heavy metal there is, including fluoride. So when you see charcoal or carbon or clays for binders, you don't see that they will pick up fluoride. Zeolite's different. Zeolite also gets the fluoride. That's a very big deal. It is great at removing these environmental toxins from our body. Masterpiece is the highest grade sea mineral plasma solution. It is basically isotonic, the same mineral composition as your blood plasma. So the sea minerals are being carried in by the nanometer, sub-nanometer size clinoptilolite zeolite. And once the toxin hits the zeolite, it releases and displaces the mineral. People don't feel bad. There's no normal detoxing reaction.
Everybody needs to go to getmasterpiece.com. You get 10% off by using that URL automatically when you go. There's promo code Alex as well. Getmasterpiece.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
We're going to continue the powerful geopolitical analysis roundup on the third hour of the Alex Jones Show today. I'm your host, Rex Jones, AJN Live. Please repost, share the live links. Tell people you're watching this right now, and they need to know what you know, and they need to know what our guest knows. Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Aguilar joining us live here in the third hour. Anthony, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing? Good to see you.
Thank you. It's good to see you too, man. I've been looking forward to this. I've been hosting for my dad all week. He's in Hawaii. He's on a little bit of a vacation. He's been doing like the first hour and a half of the show. It's been pretty wild to be on big time TV. So I've been enjoying it though. And we've been doing some really important interviews. I had Joe Ken on yesterday. I had a very important conversation with him about what's been going on right now overseas. And really, it's World War E, World War Epstein, World War Energy, whatever you want to call it. We have that like 1,000 kilometers of conflict. And just as you see things developing, before I get into breaking news, where do things stand?
Well, I think it's appropriate that this conflict that initiated on the 28th of February is now a world war. If you consider the the regional aspects, directly involved in the shooting war, Iran, the United States, Saudi Arabia, Egypt has now been drawn directly into this, the UAE, Jordan, Bahrain, Kuwait, Oman, all directly involved, and by proxy, and you know who kind of started it, Israel. So when you consider in the region directly involved in this ever-growing out of control conflict, but then you also have influence from other nation, powerful nations such as Russia, China, Pakistan, India, directly involved. This is a world war. Just because there are many people that don't yet want to acknowledge that, because many don't want to admit that this war that would take a couple days, maybe a few weeks, it would be over when Donald Trump wanted it to be over. We are now going on to 153 days, which is what, by the math here, that's 5 months and 3 days, or 21 weeks and 6 days. So we're basically in the second trimester of this birth of World War III.
That's a stunning and stark way to put it, but I think that's pretty much true. And to the people that deny it's a war, some people acknowledge it's a war now, but they say it wasn't a war before. We say you don't get to pick and choose. When the bombs start flying, when the people start dying, it's not a matter of saying, oh, we still consider this to be a limited conflict. The Iranians don't. They don't. They think they're at war existentially. So if we don't, if we act like we don't also hold that position, we're lying, because that is very clearly how our government feels about it. It's existential. Iran must not have a nuclear weapon. What that really means is we must have the regime change. What do you think?
Well, yeah, you know, Americans are very fortunate and blessed to our geography, that we have a country to our north and a country to our south that we are not at war with, and two massive oceans to our west and east, to where are bombs dropping on American soil? No. But are we seeing the economic impacts already that are only going to get worse? Yes. And much like World War I, you know, there was a world war that already broke out throughout Europe that the United States wasn't involved in until we were. And then the United States acknowledged that, oh, yeah, this is a world war because we're involved in it. So is this a existential fight for Iran? Yes, it is. Is this an existential fight for countries like Bahrain and the UAE and Oman and Kuwait? It absolutely is. Is this an existential fight for the sovereignty and the independence of Iraq that is now directly pulled into this because of the Kurdish population and because the United States is influencing politics in Iraq based on what we want from this conflict? So the Americans are, you know, we saw it in World War I, we saw it in World War II, we saw it in the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, to where the United States is often late to acknowledge the reality because we're blessed of our geography, but that too can change, right, to where this war is only going to get deeper in pulling other nations directly into it, to where the United States will have no choice but to have either boots on the ground, whether it's limited or not. I don't think that we can control anymore whether that'll be limited or not.
Well, can I go there with you?
That's the direction we're heading.
Can I go there with you? And I want to cut a clip on this because it's important for people to know. This is breaking news. This is the Times of Israel. Okay. We'll say it IZRUL. So it's not fake news or anti-Semitic to read it. This is what they say. Netanyahu, Trump reportedly weighed imposing land blockade against Iran. Prime Minister and King of the United States, Benjamin Netanyahu, and U.S. President Donald Trump met in the Oval Office on July 28th. According to the report, the pair discussed pressuring Iran
through kinetic and non-kinetic means. That means failed color revolution and failed bombing, because both those things, we tried them, they don't work. So it's literally the definition of insanity amid a standoff following months of fighting. What if you just blocked the land? Suppose Iran can't bring anything in and cannot take anything out. Anything will happen, a senior Israeli official is quoted as saying. And I watched Daniel Davis talk about this morning. He said they couldn't control one province of Afghanistan, much less, you know, blocking the entire Iranian border. What's your take on that? And give the people your background.
So my background, I'm a former U.S. Army lieutenant colonel. I served for 25 years as a Special Forces Green Beret. I served as not only a detachment commander, a company commander, a battalion commander, but also as a joint plans officer in the joint staff and in joint operations and joint operation task forces throughout the world. I'm a graduate of West Point. I've got a master's in political science and a PhD in political science. So these are things that I have been studying and living and experiencing for the entirety of my adult life since I was 17. I don't look at this through the lens of an amateur or through the lens of someone that doesn't have the ability to apply deep history to the current construct of reality that then backs it up also with life lived experience on the ground in some of these very places that we're talking about right now. And the headline of that article that you just showed, what's interesting to that is that you could take that same article, that same headline, change the country names. That is exactly how the United States' involvement in World War I, in World War II, in the Persian Gulf, Desert Steel, Desert Storm, in Syria, in Vietnam, in Iraq, in Afghanistan, and now with this war in Iran, how it always started. We thought that in World War I that we would contribute our part by helping the allies in Europe with, we'll give them materiel, we'll help them with blockade, but we're not going to get directly involved. Well, we did, because we had to. World War II, we're gonna help the blockade. We're going to help isolate Germany and the main part of Europe. We're going to let France fight. We're going to send them some support. We'll send in the Jedburghs to help raise the French resistance against, but we're not going to get directly involved. And then we had to. Vietnam, we'll assist with the French. We'll cut off Indochina. We'll help. But we're not going to get directly involved until we were. World War II in the Pacific campaign, in the island campaign. We're going to cut Japan off by taking the Solomons, taking the Marshalls, cut them off from their resources, but we're not going to go in. And we realized that we had to. Iraq, the first time, the Gulf War, Desert Shield, Desert Storm. We're going to push them out. We're going to hold them. We're going to blockade. And we're going to let economics win this war for us until we couldn't. And then Desert Shield turned into Desert Storm, and we put boots on the ground. It was 90 hours, 90 days, but 90-day, 90-hour ground war over a 90-day operation. Right. But we had to put boots on the ground.
We
are trying to do all of the things in history that we've realized don't work. We're trying to do that with Iran right now, and it will not succeed to achieve any type of objective. And the problem now with this war in particular is that what is the U.S. strategic achievable objective? We don't have one.
Right. Yeah, I want to point out that it's sick and disturbing that we have Americans that weren't born when 9/11 happened dying in the Middle East. Like, come on. Like, anyone that's out there, we have a big audience right now. Anyone that's pro-war, pro-war with Iran, like, how can you be? How can you have that position? Go ahead.
During the withdrawal from Afghanistan in August of 2021, the explosion at Abbey Gate that killed 19 American service members, Marines, Army psychological operations soldiers, all but two of them were 19 or younger. They died in a war in the withdrawal from a war that they weren't even born when the war started. They weren't even born yet in 2001 when we went into Afghanistan.
Right.
This war with Iran, and anyone that thinks that what the administration or what Pete Hegseth or Donald Trump are telling us, that we could end this whenever we want. We're now at 5 months and 3 days. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to turn into a year. It's going to turn into 2 years. And 10, 15 years from now, with thousands of U.S. service members lost at sea or on land or in the air, we're all going to look back and then be like, huh, what happened to that quick war? What happened to that mission accomplished?
Excellent point. And that's the thing. And not only just now, like another thing just really makes me angry. And of course, I'm a total civilian, right? Like I'm not a member of the armed forces and never have been. But I just think about the idea of somebody my age playing, you know, like video games on their phone or whatever, and they're in some base that amounts to just it's a shed. Really, it's not a bunker. It's not missile defense. There's nothing there to protect you. And then you have a lawnmower drone come in. They spent 15 grand making it. And then your entire, you know, early 20s existence, you know, going to school in America, meeting a girl in America, marrying a girl in America, thinking about having kids, buying a house. It doesn't exist anymore. It doesn't exist for Tyler. It doesn't exist for Sarah. It doesn't exist for Angel. It doesn't exist for Michael. And when I say that and people get mad at me, I am honoring them by telling the truth about what happened. All right. Donald Trump sent them into a place that could not be defended on the record. That's just a fact. What do you think about that, Anthony? What's your take?
Well, when we first went into Iraq and we looked at the problem from the scope of the Western view, from the Western perspective, oh, we're going to defeat the Revolutionary Guard. We'll have them beat easy. We got the best military in the world, and we're going in with a coalition of the willing. And we did. You know, you could say that, okay, we met that first phase. But then we started to have $8.3 million tanks and $20 million strikers, the most advanced military infantry fighting vehicle in the world at the time. And I was a striker infantry platoon leader. They were of the first striker brigade that existed in the army and went into combat. And we were losing soldiers and having multi-million dollar vehicles blown up with 25 cent timers off of washing machines strapped right to, a couple 155 rounds of bombs. And that is a problem that we never solved. We never solved the IED problem in Iraq, in Syria, in Afghanistan. It continued to evolve. We continued to find ways to avoid it, but we never solved that problem because it's an asymmetric war. Right. So when you look at the war that we've now stepped into,
it gets back.
It was asymmetric from its inception.
It gets back into it being existential for them because this. I'm not saying this. Certainly not to endorse, it's morbid and horrific what's happened to our soldiers in the Middle East, but necessity is the mother of invention. And when we go in their backyard and they have to fight us or their civilization doesn't exist anymore, as Trump says, they're going to figure out a way to do efficient missile defense and missile attack. And that's the reality. The asymmetric warfare, their win condition is a lot easier than ours is as well. We need total regime change. All they have to do is close the strait and continue to back the axis of resistance. I just had Suleiman Ahmed on, of course, a leading international journalist, and he was talking to me about a coordinated attack between the entire axis of resistance against Saudi Arabia in the United States. What do you think about the possibility of something like that happening? What would that look like?
It's very likely, and it is logically in the progression of this conflict, predictable. Yes, we are seeing the allies and the axes, the Entente and the other already beginning to form between countries now have to take sides.
Right.
Are we going to be on this side? Or are we going to be on this side? And you see countries now really taking a hard look at, is America really going to be here with us in the long run? Is America going to stand by us 5 years from now? Is America going to stand by us years from now? I'll tell you, ask the Kurds how American commitment has gone for them. Ask the Southern Vietnamese, the Montagnards, and the Vietnam, how that went for them. Ask the Free French how that went for them when basically Germany pushed through the rest of France and Vichy French took over, and we basically abandoned the Free French for a total war. Ask them how that went for them. Ask the people of Afghanistan how that went for them when we left and we said, "Hey, sorry, you gotta fend for yourself." And for the few hundred we were able to get out, on the back end of that, now we have an administration that calls them terrorists.
Wow!
So ask them how that panned out for them.
Yeah, it never seems to work out great. We're a real fair weather friend to people around the globe. We're also a big monster that takes little bites. We say, hey, just give us a little portion of your sovereignty. Let us put these military bases here. Let us be the reason that you get attacked. It's worth it, right, for our phenomenal relationship because of all our connections. But as the East and Global South grow, and as things like BRICS mature, as Russia and China consolidate their relationships around the planet, and it becomes very clear the Western financial system is really propped up on this massive debt, and you can't really deal with the bond rates going much higher before you have total collapse, much less the fertilizer collapse is already occurring, much less not having the petroleum supply. Matt Bracken and others are calling this an energy world war. What do you think about that? What is your take?
Absolutely. As much as the United States is protected against bombs dropping in, central Oklahoma or Southern California, the nature of the impact of to the economy, to our agriculture, to food, physically food on the table. That impact we haven't felt yet, but that whiplash is coming. The whip has already been struck, and it's going down the line, and it hasn't cracked at the end of the whip.
The tsunami
here at home, but it's coming.
The tsunami. The water is going out away from the beach, and everyone's just standing. Oh, hey, it is. Look, there's a fish on the beach. It's a shark. Wow, it's a whale.
Yeah.
And then you see the water start to come in, 100%.
And for some, as they sit there and watch the water come back, they think, oh, look, there's so much more beautiful sand on the beach. Oh, look, this water is coming back. We'll have a beautiful day at the beach with water. It's like, well, no, it's actually going to wipe out everything for the next, 10 miles inland.
Right.
And we sit and look at that and we think that it won't impact us here. But when you start to look at the reality on the ground, look at the U.S. Central Command commander, Admiral Brad Cooper.
Right.
The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Air Force General Dan Kane, who I've worked with personally.
Right.
They have come to the president with two different options. We either stop the missile exchange that we then don't follow up with anything because we're wasting all of our strategic supply of missiles and munitions, or we do something. We either have to go in on the ground or take the Strait of Hormuz. Even to this day, regardless of 153 days into this conflict, who still controls the Strait of Hormuz?
Iran.
We have not changed the calculus one bit.
They lie. Jack Keane goes on Fox News and says we have to keep it open, or one of them. They're all the same. I don't want to slander anybody. One of the many talking heads say that we've already won the war, say that, oh, we just got to keep the strait open. You're like, what does that mean? Trump goes, well, there is some traffic through the strait. And it's like, yeah, 150 vessels a day. That's what was normal. Maybe a few now. Several, maybe, on a good day. What's your take on that? And not only that, this will be my last question, the Bab el-Mandeb, not only that, the Suez Canal and the Iranians are claiming it was a false flag attack, that they're not responsible. Those three critical waterways, what's your position on that?
Well, I'll tell you, I'd rather take a mixed drink from Bill Cosby than any military advice from Jack Keane. Jack Keane is a sycophant When he was in the military as a four-star general, he got there by nepotism. He speaks for the Institute for the Study of War, which is a Zionist-backed think tank that basically feeds to Fox News and other news agencies exactly what the Zionist AIPAC framework tells them to say. In my opinion, folks like Jack Keane, Kellogg, they have sold out their oath for money and fame, and they didn't have a good track record when they were in the military. They didn't experience these things. When wars break out and you're already at the level of being a one-star or a two-star general, you're an administrator. You're not fighting war. You're back in DC giving the president or the chairman options. You know, you spend most of your days wearing a suit rather than boots.
Right.
So I don't listen to folks like Jack Keane and the Institute for the Study of War, because I know the people in behind it. But to the point of what he's saying is that in the beginning, we had a lot of these experts say that, oh yeah, the president has a clear plan. The president has the ability to scale this. We can be in or out. It's not our problem. We've achieved our objective of sinking the Iranian Navy and destroying the Iranian Air Force. That's the equivalent of saying, hey, we're about to go into this neighborhood and take it over. Hey, boss, we destroyed everyone's landline telephones. What? Like, what's that going to do? Okay, so
they don't have plumbing anymore.
That might be true.
Yeah.
You destroyed all of their landlines. Who has a landline anymore? Like, okay. So yeah, you destroyed the Iranian Navy because it was sitting at their ports because they don't use it.
Right. And you spent critical precision guided munitions to do it. And then the subsequent retaliatory strikes, we used vital air defense, spending probably hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars to defend ourselves from a war of aggression, a war of choice that we started. Anthony Aguilar, that was powerful. Always appreciate having you on. We got to stream again soon. I want to have you on my personal show, yep. New American Journal in the morning. But let's plug it really quick. Your website, where can people find you and learn more?
Yeah, so I'm still, I'm still charging hard in the general election phase now here in North Carolina for U.S. Congress, running as an independent. The primary elections are coming up here in November. We're in the general election season. North Carolina already had their primaries, so coming into the election here in November. I ask anyone voting in the country, anyone in North Carolina District 13, do you want to support Anthony Aguilar?
Support Anthony Aguilar. See you soon.
There's a massive sale going on right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Huge. Ultimate summer sale. 50% off Ultimate Power, Freedom Mango, and Patriot Punch. Methylene Red capsules. This is a proprietary product. It would take an hour to get into Ultra Methylene Red. The capsules are now in. Mind-fueled nootropic energy shots, all 50% off. 40% off zeolite tincture, detoxifying, upper spike protein, and it's good for your whole body getting heavy metals out. Methylene Blue tincture, 40% off. CMOS gummies, 40% off. Shilajit gummies, 40% off. Methylene Blue gummies, 40% off. Ultimate Chill, and a whole bunch of other big discounts as well. 30% off all apparel. The widest selection of Patriot shirts of every different design, configuration. It is the widest selection. It's over 800 different shirts. It's ridiculous. The new line that I designed is, I think, pretty good. Rebel Scum since 1776. The Betsy Ross flag, less 1984, more 1776 in muscle shirts. A whole bunch of other really cool stuff now at thealexshowstore.com. I love this lightweight so-called dress shirt, but it's a very special type of shirt from a great manufacturer. We now have the boxer shorts, and they're not boxer like underwear. The classic boxer shorts that aren't long and aren't short. They're just kind of medium. They're my favorite type. I picked these out. I picked the brand. I said, this is the type of short I like. We're adding a lot of new apparel at thealexjonesstore.com. And every order right now, and it's about to end in the next few days, gets a free mystery t-shirt. You just put your size in, you get a free mystery t-shirt with every order that's $29 or more at thealexjonesstore.com. That is a hell of a deal right now. We've got the silver collectible 250-year anniversary with the amazing Jerusalem cross. Those are going to be gone soon. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And you stand with us, and you know that all the great work we're doing is because of you. You are the reason we're here. You are the InfoWar. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.